1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9. The Word of God says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
Thank you, Pastor. Our Father, I ask you right now to touch the Word of God. I pray that you would touch the hearers today. And Lord, that you would manifest yourself to them and reveal yourself to them. And whatever their need is, they'll respond and come and get right with God. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen. You that are online, if you would, I'd like for you to share the message today. The world needs to hear what I'm preaching this morning. I thank God for this. If you notice, I had him read from verse 9 down to verse 9, chapter 3, because this paragraph goes from there all the way down, and it is emphasizing this, the manifestation of divine truth. If there's ever a time in our history, that we need a manifestation of divine truth, is today. I'm talking about God's truth, God's Word, what God wants out of your life, what God wants to do in your life. And the only way you can know what He wants in your life is for divine truth to be revealed unto you. Now let me give you four things, and then the fourth one will be our message today. Verse number 9, the missing of the manifestation. The Bible said, I have not heard, listen to me, or seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. I want you to know something. There's a lot of people that says they're saved. A lot of people that are lost. You know what the big problem is? They said, I just can't understand heaven. I can't understand truth. I want you to know why you can't understand truth. It's because the Spirit of God is the only one that can reveal truth. Somebody help me preach. Oh, I want to tell you. You know, here's what I see in our generation. We're living in a generation of materialism, humanism, all moralism. That's where we're at today. You know what's missing? A real revelation of God. People are not really concerned about what God wants to say to them. They're more concerned what the news says, the media says, or their friend says, or their partner says. We need to hear from God this morning. Amen. What's missed? The things which God had prepared for them. Where is it missed? It's missed in the heart. Oh, I ain't going to tell you don't have some head knowledge. I'll tell you what, most people just got enough head knowledge to be dangerous. They just got enough knowledge of the Bible to be kind of ignorant. It's good preaching anyway, Reverend. Then I want you to notice number two in verses 10 through 12. The means of manifestation. The means of manifestation. You want God to manifest himself? There's only one way he does it. Look at verse. I'm just going line by line. Precept on precept. Are you following me? Amen? But God, how you like that Holy Ghost conjunction? Have revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. The means of the manifestation is the revealing of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know, you'll never know all what God wants to for you until you allow the Holy Ghost to manifest truth in you. If you quench the Holy Spirit, if you resist the Holy Spirit, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you'll never receive divine truth. Why is it that this generation of Christendom is the most shallow, sensitive generation ever? Why is it that most of Christendom today, instead of reaching and having the great things of God, have settled for the surface things, for the shallow things, for those things that have no substance? I want to tell you, God sought something bigger for you, something wonderful for you. And that's all, it all comes from the revelation of the Spirit. Somebody help me. Notice this. Stay with me, verse 10 and 11. The researching by the Spirit. See, you want to know what God wants? It's only the Holy Ghost can reveal to you, because he knows the mind of God. You say, well, I want to make the right decision. Right? I want to know who I should marry, who I should date, where I should go. Well, the only way you can know the right decision is yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit of God, who knows the mind of God, who can reveal to you the way you ought to go. You say, that sounds simple. Why? It may sound simple, but most of God's people are not traveling that direction. Am I preaching? Look at that verse. I'm trying to go line upon line. Look at it. What for what man knoweth the things of a man? Say the spirit of man, which is in it. Even so, the things of God know no man, but the Spirit of God. You can't know the things of God outside the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in your life. And if you resist him, if you quench him, if you grieve him, you'll never get where God really wants you to go. Then the receiving of the Spirit. Verse 12. Notice I'm preaching line upon line. Now we have received not the spirit of man, of the world. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. But the Spirit of which is of God. Hey, by the way, you can tell the spirit of the world and the spirit of God. Why don't you know what 1 John says? Try the spirits to see if they are of God. You know what we need to do? If something comes our way that seems wrong, we need to try it. Try the Spirit, whatever's come to us, according to the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. When we see people living contradictory lives, it's because they're not allowing the Spirit of God to show them in the Word of God. Good preaching, Reverend. Then the message of the manifestation, verse 13, I'm almost to the message. You said you're not there yet? No. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, but not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You know what Paul was saying? I've received the manifestation, and now I'm declaring the manifestation. I'm your preacher. I have received the manifestation. I know what God once preached this morning, and now I'm declaring the manifestation. And now the Holy Spirit's going to lay it out to you whether you receive or reject the manifestation. But action number four is my message. The men of the manifestation. He reveals himself in these two chapters to three people. You know, I know I'm going to get in trouble. I don't even really care anymore. Since Wednesday and our new president, you said, ain't you going to give him a break? No, not at all. I pray for it, but I ain't giving him a break. When the first thing he signs is now, little boys can go in the girls' room because they don't know if they're a boy or not. Somebody help me. Men can dress up in a dress and go in right down back there in that bathroom and go in where your little babies are, your little girls are. I say it's perversion. I say it is wicked. I say it is ungodly. And I want you to know something. When God made man, when God made a man, he made a man. And you can put a dress on him. You can alter him with surgery. You can put hormones in him. But he's still a man. And I know, hold it, I know. Hey, listen, church, you better get ready because it's hitting us. The next thing they're going to legislate is for us to try to follow them. And then I'm going to say no. And I'm going to rebel. And I am going to reject it. And I'm not going to allow it because I directly gender identity. That ain't what I'm preaching. But I just thought I'd introduce the message that way. Because here's what I'm preaching. I am not listening to me. I know I shouldn't come down like this, but you got a mask on. You're a boy.
You're right.
And you're a girl.
Amen.
You're a girl. Ditzy, but a girl. And you're a boy. Just kidding.
Preaching, pastor.
You're a boy. And you're a girl. You're a girl. And you got another baby coming. Because you're a girl and girls do that.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Hold a minute. It ain't hard to find out your identity as a male and female. But here's what I'm preaching. What is your spiritual identity? By the way, as sure as you're a man or a woman, you are spiritually something. And in this passage, he describes or identifies three people that truth is manifested to. Let me introduce them to you. Number one, this is the message, by the way. What is your spiritual identity? First of all, he talks about the fallen. Look what he says. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. See, this man is a fallen man, a natural man, a blind man, an unborn man. And the result of that is this. He does not receive truth. I mean, if you're in this room lost today, your big problem is you have not received the truth of the gospel. Because if you have, you'd be a saved man. Come on, help me preach. Am I preaching? And also, he does not respect spiritual truth. The Bible said, for they are foolishness unto him. Got a little word study on foolish. Foolish. Woo. It's the Greek word. We would get our English word, moron. Man, we talk about heaven. They look at us and say, what are you talking about? We talk about fellowshipping and up brethren and being faithful to church and attending church and paying our tithes and loving our brethren and being good and serving God. And they look at us and say, that's the most foolish thing I ever seen. I seen a guy the other day. He's smart. He's a lawyer. I know him. You ever know when somebody tries to blow smoke to you? Okay. Anybody ever had somebody blow smoke to you? Yeah. But anyway, I know this guy, and he was sitting by himself. So I just thought, I said, can I have lunch with you? I had my mask on. He didn't have his, but I had mine. And I sat down, and I said, how you doing? He said, I watch you every once in a while. I said, you do? He said, once in a while. He said, what are you wasting? Here's what he said. All that talent, I ain't got talent. But because he's unlearned, that's the only thing he associates what I do is with talent. Well, all y'all know that I'm not real smart. It's the Holy Ghost that speaks through me. He said, why are you wasting your life? Because most likely you're going to die and all them people are going to forget you and trade you in. And I looked at him and I said, well, I sure don't want me no lawyer. All y'all do is drink and lie. Because he thinks what I do is foolish. And what we do is foolish. But he doesn't understand there's a heaven to go to. There is a hell to shun. There's a bunch of life to get. He just don't understand it. And he don't respect it. That's sinners. Y'all with me? And by the way, he does not recognize spiritual truth. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. How in the world can we get that kind of person turned around? He can't recognize truth. He can't receive truth. He doesn't like truth. So how does he get turned around? You said, but can he get turned around? Oh, yes, they can get turned around. Here's how. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Somebody help me preach. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I want you to know why sinners are going to hell. Not because they drink too much. Not because they smoke dope, use drugs, or watch pornography. They go to hell because they believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Let me give you some more. The Bible said in 1 Peter I'm going somewhere. 1:23-25, being born again. By the way, how many of you, raise your hand and say you know you've been born again. Woo! Not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the fire thereof faileth. But the word of God endured forever. Listen, stay with me. What was he born again of? Hey, what was he born again of? Incorruptible seed. Stay with me. Stay up with me. That is, another verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Listen to this. So then faith cometh by what? And hearing by the word of God. Let me give you some more. How many like more? Give me more. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:12-14, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now listen to this. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you said, woo. You said, well, you mean for me to be saved and get out of my natural state, I've got to believe the truth? Now here's a problem. The Calvinists, in which I am not, Chad read after one of them, you know, you got the reformers and their grandchildren. And I'm living with some of the grandchildren now. They're idiots. You know what Sproul said? Here's what Sproul said. He had enough nerve to say it. He said, you're born again before you place faith. That's what I said. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. That's not true. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to a sinner and reproves them of sin because they believe on him not. And of righteousness, well, I go back to my Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Here's what happens. The word of God is preached to your heart. But that ain't going to help you unless the Holy Ghost comes and reveals it to you. Now, see, the Calvinists believe you're dead like a corpse. So you can't receive it until you get regenerated first, and then you get faith, and then you get saved. What a bunch of idiots. Now, here's what happened. The Word of God's coming to you. You people that are lost right now. Holy Spirit's working on your heart, revealing the truth to you. And what I'm saying, you're starting to acknowledge. And here's what happens. It's laid out before you. And then you either reject it or receive it. And there's nothing else you can do. Somebody say amen. Don't tell me you can't reject the call of God. Don't tell me you can't resist the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of you been doing it for years. Am I preaching? Let me hurry on. Look at verse 15-16. I only touched this one. Since there ain't very many of these, I won't preach on it long. Verse 15-16, manifestation to the full-grown man. Let me tell you about him. He's a spiritual man. He's a blessed man. I want you to hear this last part about him. And they are those that are unquestioning. The devotion of this man, he is spiritual. He's saved and indwelt with the Spirit. But listen to me. Whatever this spiritual man, look here. Whatever this Bible says, they do. Bible says attend church, they attend church. Bible says give their tithe. They give tithe. Bible says get involved. They get involved. And you know what? They don't sit back there. They say, how dare Pastor Smith to tell me I'm not committed. Well, I'm telling you. I just double dare you to talk about my pet sin anymore. I'm doing it. And you know what? Spiritual people do. Keep on preaching, Reverend. I'm with you. I'm doing it. I'm there. Somebody help me. You see, the spiritual man judges everything by the spirit. You want to know why your marriage is upside down? You want to know why your life's upside down? Because you got either unsaved people or carnal people trying to perform in a marriage, which is impossible. Am I preaching? See, spiritual people don't have no problem with me preaching on sin. Amen. On their sin even. Because see, what they'll receive it. They won't even question it. Like this. Hold on. Let me illustrate. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the bodily resurrection. I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. I believe sanctification is a process, inward, outward, and upward. You know what? I don't even question any of that. You know why? I'm a spiritual man. But here's what happens. You know why there's a lot of people tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? Because they ain't spiritual people. Come on, help me. How can anybody believe after they've been saved and be lost again? How can anybody not believe in the virgin birth was right in the Bible? The only way I can say you can do it is that you're a lost man, or I might address you again here in a minute. Am I a preacher? This one, well, you showed me how the You show me how the lost people get it back right. Well, how do I get what you just talked about? Because I am stubborn, and I am going a different way than you're preaching. Well, how do I get that? Well, you get in the Bible. You start believing. You be in church every time the door's open. And you don't let a little pandemic scare you. Just put a mask on and go. At least we got some people starting to get that way. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing, they have blinded us. Amen. Amen. Good preaching. And but hold a minute. You can read all that Bible you want to, Lois. But unless you yield to the Holy Spirit of God, it'll never get real to you. Man, hold it. Man, I've been reading this week. And I want you to know something. I don't do it here much because some of you, I'd scare you to death if I squeal. But I was in my office yesterday, and divine truth started coming my way. And I went, whoop! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You say, why? Because I got it. It meant something to me. I understood it. All right. Y'all still alive? I'm just preaching the Bible. Now look at the last paragraph. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now, we talked about, what have we talked about? The fall of man. Right? How many heard that? We have talked about the full-grown man who's spiritual, who's blessed, and unquestioning. Where the unsaved man is blind and unborn. But let me tell you who I'm going to talk about next is the one who is the most of us. Before it's quiet in here, then I want to talk to you about the fleshly man. He is a baby and he is unlearned. Boy, it just got quiet in here. The carnal man, he's saved, though you can't tell it. He's a baby, and you can tell it. And he's unlearned. Now let's just talk about it for a minute. Y'all with me? Because by the way, I'm trying to recognize your spiritual identity. Are you saved or lost? Are you spiritual or carnal? Now I'm almost done. Let's look at him. First of all, look at his family position of the carnal man. Here's where he stands in the family. He's a baby. He's a babe in Christ. Now here's what's sad about this. This church had been established for 18 years. So we had 18-year-old babies. Hello? Now what's a baby need? What does a baby need? Well, I'm getting there, but that ain't my first point. Constant attention. That's why you people put baby monitors and all that stuff, GPSs and everything on us. When my boy was real small, about 2, 3, what we done? It's awful. I put one of them vests on him. Anybody seen him? Has a hook on the back and about 30 foot of line. And he'd take off and I went, because he was a child. And they needed a lot of attention. You want to know the fleshly people in this room? It's the people that always need a pat on the back. Always needs attention. Or they're not going to tithe. And they're not going to be faithful in service. They got to have somebody, oh, good Lord, you're so good. Really, we ain't very good. But they always need attention. Am I preaching? That's a fleshly, carnal person. And by the way, the nature of babies, they cry a lot. They complain a lot. Somebody help me. When they don't get their way, they scream. You want to know how you can tell a spiritual person in church and a carnal one? Because every time they don't like something, they scream. Oh, wait a minute. I probably shouldn't say this either. I can't help it. I was in the restaurant the other day. And then this kid that was throwing a fit. I mean, about 2 or 3 year old, throwing a fit. And I'm sitting there. Blood done reached up to here. I can't help it. Because when mine threw a fit, whack! Oh, I'm supposed to say that. Got a bunch of smart people in here. Not smart people, smart people. Don't whip them. Or my poor mom's going to jail forever. Hello? Am I preaching? See, babies cry a lot, complain a lot. Fuss a lot. Now let me give you a second. I'm almost done. The food of the carnal. Their love's milk. What is milk in Christianity? It's the superficial. It's the stuff on the surface. Yeah, I've watched it. Now I know. I'm going to sit out here and talk to you, man. I know something. Hi there. I know something. I watch you. I watch you people. You know what turns you on? A lot of Christians on? Is the superficial. It's he that shouts the loudest. He that tells the funniest stories. He that has a big dramatic story to allure your emotions. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what you need. You need truth this morning. You need to quit being a baby and be full grown. And you know what? You'd like this kind of preaching if you're spiritual. carnal people. I'm preaching line upon line. They just phew, right over your head. You know why? You're a baby. You like milk. I can't give meat. I remember when I was raising the book kids. I raised them right. Well, Mark did. Even when they were real small, she didn't let them eat meat, but she'd let them taste it. She'd throw a medium rare or rare piece of steak. Might have medium rare. And they just suck the juice out of that sucker. You say, why'd you do that? Because I'm trying to get them ready for meat. Why is it the Church of the Living God? There's so many people in our congregation that just wants the milk. And they can't handle meat and they spit it out. And why is it I can look in the Bible and it says homosexuals are sin and they're reprobates and it's an abomination. And the spiritual person, why, it's the truth. But the carnal person looks and says, hope, man, maybe they were born that way. No, they weren't born that way. They chose to be that way.
That's good preaching.
Now, hold on. I'm done. Verse 3. The fellowship of the carnal. Oh, here it is. I got to give you this. I got to give you this. Because of their feelings, they have envy. Why is it you always wonder what somebody else has? Because of their fighting, they have strife. But here's what they do. They take the instruments of grace and do this. I am with Paul. Not me. I'm with Peter. Not me. I'm with Apollos. You know what Christianity's become? It's become all about personalities. And not much about the gospel. Oh, yeah. I ain't supposed to be down here, am I? I can't help myself. See, I want to tell you know something, friend. Whether it's John Smith's preaching or anybody else preaching, it ain't about who I am. It's about what I say. Well, I've come to Jubilee if my favorite preacher's there. No, I'm going to come to Jubilee whoever's preaching. I'll come in my favor. Why is it you can shout at some people singing and not other people singing? And they sing to both of them singing spiritual truth. I'll tell you why. You're worshiping personalities and you're not worshiping God. Now I'm done. I'll do better tonight. I want to ask you, not because your neighbor told you, not because your wife told you. I want to ask you, number one, what's your spiritual identity? Here's one I ask first. Everybody that know 100% that you're a saved person, raise your hand. I want to identify you. Thank you. Those that didn't raise their hand, well, you raise yours and say, I'm not saved. If you're going to be there, go ahead and admit it. Number two, be honest. Are you a spiritual person or a carnal person? Are you always fussing, negative, don't want to be in church, don't want spiritual things? You're fleshly. And I don't want to make you mad, but you're not spiritual. And you need to walk out and get on this altar and say, God, I don't want to live this shallow life anymore. I'm sick of living like this. I want power. I want abundant life. I want joy. I'm sick of being carnal and unlearned and a brat. And I ask you, are you spiritual? Are you unquestioning? You hear the truth? You know it? You obey it? Bow your head with me. I'm done. I want to make sure. Is there anybody here not sure you're saved? Raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody looking. Nobody looking. God bless that hand. Anybody else? Anybody here say, preach? I'm not a spiritual man. I'm saved, but I'm not spiritual. I'm not leading my home spiritually. I'm not spiritual. I live by my flesh most of the time, preach. But I want it to be different. How many just be honest and raise your hand and say, I'm saved, but I'm fleshly. I'm saved, but I'm not where I ought to be. God bless that hand. Boy, it's so hard to admit, isn't it? It's so hard to gravitate to. Everything about us wants to please the preacher and wants him to think, oh, everything's okay, when everything's not okay. Stand with me. If you're tired of being fleshly, why don't you come up around the altar?